Oh, oh God.
All right.
I definitely think the room is sinking, Jay.
I'm pretty sure it's sinking.
It's sinking into molten lava, Jay.
Pretty sure that that one guy said that we should not put the lair in a volcano was right.
He was totally right.
He was really right.
Why didn't we listen to him?
We did not listen to that. I'm pretty sure the boss threw him into the volcano. That was a mistake.
Yeah.
That was a tactical error.
HR is going to hear about it.
Yeah, God.
But oh, God. I'm
pretty sure HR is in the lava already.
Oh.
So.
Oh, God.
We'll do a job search, but yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, okay.
That's a problem for later once we figure out how to not die.
Yeah, by magma.
Today. By magma. Okay.
Well.
But, I mean, not much we can do about it right now.
No.
So, as is our way, we're gonna record a little.
Yeah, it might be our last podcast ever.
Could be our last one. This could really be it.
This could be the end.
I mean, we said that before, but this could really be the one.
I feel like this is, you know, because I can feel the floor getting hotter.
It's getting real warm.
So I'm pretty certain this is the last.
This is pretty uncomfortable.
This is the last podcast.
So this should be it. So let's talk about peril.
Oh God.
Let's talk about.
Peril and
heroes in traps of death.
Our favorite thing to do.
No way out situations.
No way out situations.
Our little Kobayashi Marus.
That's true.
Yeah.
The real ones, not the pretend Kobayashi.
Not the pretend one. Actual like, Kobayashi Marus.
Yeah.
Actual. Because there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
Though there is generally like a pretty basic plan.
Whose plan?
I feel like there's a pretty basic structure to Death Trap, which is usually the walls close in.
Like the trash compactor in Star Wars.
Sometimes spikes come out of the walls that are closing
Temple
in.
Temple of Doom.
Like in Temple of Doom. And also Raiders. Raiders does have has the wall of spikes that comes out that...
Right at the beginning.
Yep.
I was thinking of the wall of snakes Raiders of Lost Ark.
Well, yeah, the snakes come out of the wall and cover the floor.
Thus, the wall of snakes.
You could call it a wall of snakes.
I do call it a wall of snakes.
You do. Okay.
Hey, this is going to be my last podcast ever.
You know what? You can call
it
a wall of
snakes. I'm
going
to call it the fucking wall of snakes.
You can call it whatever you want. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, and we can both attest to this given our employer.
Yeah.
Villains spend a lot of time and energy designing death traps.
Or at least certainly, like, I'm going to kill you now. I'm thinking Goldfinger.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes.
You expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.
That was a pretty simple death trap, though.
Well, right. And it should have been very effective.
It should have been.
Because it was simple. I'm just going to cut you in half with this laser.
Right. I don't know why
he
went the long way, though.
True.
It's more painful. And certainly it's better torture.
Or, well, why didn't he start at the... I mean, if he was going to go that way so he could hear the screams.
Right.
Because, like, you want to hear the screams of your hero in Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Why didn't he start at, like, the foot? Like,
is
that laser beam only going to bisect the table?
Right.
Could it be moved... Could you move the table
a little
bit? I don't
know. That's the question. Because that was a case... Because I guess there do tend to be sort of, like, two different sort of kind of death trap situations.
Uh-huh.
One where... You design a thing specifically to be a death trap, an impediment to a treasure room.
Right.
Like in Temple of Doom or in Last Crusade, there's, you know, we have specifically constructed and designed these things to be death traps.
All of the 1950s Batman comic books?
Yes.
With
the
giant objects?
Oh, yeah.
From the Joker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are designed to do that.
Yeah.
And then there's in, like, Goldfinger... There's Crime of Opportunity, where you sort of like cobble together a death trap out of the things you have
lying
around.
So what was he using that laser for?
I felt like the laser, it's been a while since I saw Goldfinger, but I felt the laser was part of whatever his like business was. It was just like, that was just machinery in the thing.
In the boardroom.
Was it in the boardroom?
It was basically in a boardroom. Like it wasn't like in the machine shop.
Yeah.
Maybe he used it to, like, cut cake or something.
I don't know. Okay, maybe, maybe...
Like, I don't think there was any real, like,
it was just there to tie someone to that table.
Because I think it also had, like, things to... So, possibly Goldfinger was cutting up other people.
I guess so. I guess maybe he just cuts people up, which seems...
Which is a funny name for anything for a guy named Goldfinger to be cutting people up.
Yeah, that seems... That seems like a bit of a misnomer.
I think he's a lousy villain. Fight me.
Don't at me. Don't at me, bro. So yeah, I mean,
But there's also, like, I was also thinking, you know, the hero in peril. I was also thinking of, like, this story trope.
Yes.
Of, like, we're going to exhaust the hero by throwing all this shit at him.
Yeah.
Like, what Bane's plan was before, Nightfall, the comic book story, Batman comic book story, where he, like, lets out all the guys and gals from Arkham Asylum, and, like, basically wears Batman down. Before breaking his back.
Before he snaps his back.
You know, I think, you know, so there's that kind of...
There is that. I mean, there is...
Speaking of James Bond, because we have totally says Bond is speculative fiction. Yes. Because it's not real. Skyfall.
Skyfall.
So the bad guy's plans to get captured... It seemed to work out really well for him. Like,
he
did it right.
Pain. We're good.
But anyway, would that count as like the kind of the peril, like the trap? He set a trap for our hero, and the trap being like, I've gotten captured, so I've gotten close. You know, like the Joker's plan in Dark Knight,
Loki's plan in Avengers, all of those plans in all those movies, which was always dumb.
Why is it? But they always seem to have succeeded. So you can't say within the movie, you can't say that they're dumb.
It's just
within the movie, they're good.
It's just unnecessarily complicated. It's like the old joke about Luke's plan to rescue Han in Raiders, where it's like,
wait, Luke's plan to rescue Han in Raiders of the
Lost Raiders Ark. Not Raiders of the Lost Ark, in Return of the Jedi.
Okay, like I want to see that movie. Indiana Jones, and we're all going to rescue Han Solo.
Exactly. So, if you accept every part of it is a plan and not, like, successive plans that have failed.
Right.
Then his plan was, I can't remember who it was, like, some comedian or someone was like, so, he sits down with, like, sits down with Lando and Leia. It's like, okay, so I've got a plan to get Han out of Jabba's palace.
Right.
Lando... You're going to pretend to be a guard in Jabba's palace.
Right.
And Lando goes, oh, and so I'll free him from inside. No.
Yeah.
Then, Leia, you're going to pretend to be a bounty hunter.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring you're going to bring C-3PO with you.
Right.
Bring Chewie with you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you've never seen this movie. Yeah,
you're going to bring Chewie with you.
Yeah.
And so then once they're there, we're going to, no. You're going to get captured.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to send C-3PO and R2-D2 in.
Yeah.
And they're going to do it. No, they're going to get captured too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to show up. And so it's just like, what the hell kind of plan is this? Oh, yeah. So my plan always requires me to be captured by the police.
Yeah.
It's just dumb. I don't understand. And then it always breaks down.
This might be the lava talking, but I feel like you've totally destroyed Jedi for me now.
That's what I'm here for.
Be able to watch it.
I'm here to ruin your things.
Again.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's my distaste for the villain gets captured by the hero's plan that makes me think. But I tend to think of like the peril, the hero in peril, because you need to have your hero in peril.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think the villain getting captured, but it was part of a plan, is I think a way to show how smart the villain is.
I know.
It's not necessarily the most effective. It's a way to do it. A way to show that your villain is, and you need in order for the hero to truly be in peril, the villain must be able to win.
Yes.
Able like in some ways maybe needing to be better than the heroes. Like I always find it, this is a little off, but like I always find it very funny. Like the first Fantastic Four movie, like the it takes four of them to bring down Doom. It's like, well, how good are they individually then? If it's like one guy, it's like,
Yeah, but that is the whole, like, that's the whole arc of that movie.
Right.
That's the whole idea, is they're a family, they have to work together.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want to because they don't really like each other all that much. Well, really, just Ben and Johnny don't like each other.
But that's brotherly love.
But I mean, it's not a big... sort of hurdle.
Right, right.
It's not like they're the Dirty Dozen or something. They all want to kill each other.
Right, 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 right. Or the Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
or,
exactly. Yeah. It's just these two guys don't get along so well.
Yeah, but it's like it's that hero. I'm trying to think of something from like fantasy, either a movie where like there's
my preferred version of like the death trappy hero in peril thing is the one that's in Lord of the Rings, mm-hmm. where Gollum leads them to Shelob.
Right.
And I always like about that.
The spider. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I always think of, I like those kind of things where the villain leads you into somewhere but there's a greater danger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or there's a danger that they didn't tell you about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I was thinking about the spider in the books. Like, yeah. You know, or I'm sorry, I'm quite not as nerdy as you are. The Shelob.
The Shelob.
Shelob, of course.
What the hell?
Why isn't there a band called Shelob?
There's got to be. They're absolutely. I can tell you right now. We don't have to Google it. You can Google it at your leisure. I am.
Google is not working in this lava filling room.
Reasonably positive that there is a death metal band, probably somewhere in Arizona, playing right now, called Shelob.
I like that it's in Arizona. Yeah, well, and not like you know.
That's a good place for death metal. It's yeah.
I would think Nevada. Well, I guess it does make sense. Like Arizona. Yeah. I would want death metal.
If you were 22 in Arizona, what else are you going to do except ride in a shitty band and play death metal? And call your band Shelob.
Guys, I read this novel. It's called Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Have you heard of it?
Yeah. So I'm trying, I mean, there are all the old, you know, Saturday morning serials.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where sort of the, I mean, even whenever I think Perils, the first thing I think of is Perils of Pauline as like, the archetype, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's, I mean, like, and the, well, speaking of serials, like the old Flash Gordon serials, there'd be something that Ming has put, like, Flash Gordon, some room that might be sinking into lava, like,
remarkably similar to what we are, you know, except right now.
We're not the heroes, we're not going to die.
We are the jumpsuited thugs.
But there's always going to be, like, oh, if I open up, well, Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
He's constantly in death traps.
Yes.
There was one of the more famous ones with Dr. Eleven, where it's the two-parter. The
11th Doctor. What's wrong with you? Dr. 11.
Doctor. It's the sulfur, okay? Quite frankly, I'm about to die. Can we not talk about this right now? Anyway, the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith, or is he actually the 12th Doctor?
Anyway.
Anywho, it's the two-parter in his first season with... it's in his first season, and River comes back, and the angels are creeping up, and he's got the big speech, you know, whatever you do, you never put me in a trap.
Right.
And, like, he gets out, you know.
Because
he's constantly in traps, and...
Yes.
And and that's a way to show that the Doctor, or some people like to call him Doctor Who...
Some people do, but they're incorrect. He's the Doctor.
So Doctor Who is... So it's a great way to show how smart... The Doctor is. Right. Like he's constantly in traps and constantly
getting out of it. But of course...
Mostly with the sonic screwdriver.
I was just saying, he's always got the sonic screwdriver, which does anything he wants it to do when he wants it to do a thing.
Hey, the 5th Doctor, it got destroyed on him. Oh, so he had to figure things out.
So, all right.
I'm just saying. Yeah, 5th, 6th, and 7th Doctor did not have...
The sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it came back.
Yeah.
And now it's just the fix-all for everything.
We'll find out if Jodie Whittaker has a sonic screwdriver.
We'll see. Yes. Very excited. So, yeah, I mean, I obviously in a story you want to have your hero in peril. You want to think, at least for a second, that they might die. Like, one of the things that always struck me as interesting about Lord of the Rings in particular.
Yeah.
And I also think this less so when I remembered what happened to Rickon. About the Starks in Game of Thrones, is that we always think, like, oh my god, the Starks went through all this terrible, terrible stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ned got killed.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
Which is pretty terrible.
Yeah, that's a terrible way to go.
And, you know, Rob and Catelyn.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of Starks around. They went through terrible things.
I suppose so, yeah.
But there's still, you know, a bunch of them.
Isn't there, like, three?
There's three now.
Right.
For when I first had this thought, there were four.
Yeah. It's like, is that a lot?
That's still a lot.
They started with a lot more.
Yeah, but like, you think about, you know, Lord of the Rings, right? The Fellowship of the Ring.
Uh-huh.
Only one member of the Fellowship actually dies.
Wait, Boromir. Oh, yeah. Well, Sean Bean.
That's Sean Bean. So Boromir's...
I wonder if, like, you know, when Tolkien was writing it, he was like, someday, John Bean shall play this character, so he shall die.
Oh, that's yes.
Right, yeah.
So Boromir's the only member of the Fellowship who actually dies.
And he deserved it.
And he did deserve it.
Yeah.
But he died nobly. He died nobly. We love you, Boromir.
Mm.
And while everyone else goes through some pretty terrible times...
Yeah.
They're not really terrible times.
I don't know. Being wrapped up in a giant spider web about to be eaten by a spider,
that's pretty terrible. Frodo has the worst. Frodo gets the worst of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, one, because he's carrying the ring.
Yeah.
But he falls into the swamp. He has his finger bitten off.
Yeah.
Like, he's coming away with some scars.
You know who has it the worst?
Who?
Than Frodo.
Who?
Samwise. He's got to listen to Frodo.
All day long.
I got to carry the ring.
Yeah.
And Samwise is just in love with Frodo. He just wants to show how much he loves Frodo. Oh, but Frodo's like,
the ring. Right? Yeah?
God damn you, Frodo.
I know.
Bite me. What is your favorite? If you were trapped on a desert island with a death trap, which death trap would you like to be trapped on?
Does Schrodinger's cat count?
Are you the cat?
I would be the cat.
Yeah, okay. Sadly, that's not speculative.
It's not speculative, but it's actual science.
Yeah.
That's a really good question. I have to think about it.
Thank you. I'm going to end the podcast here.
Because there's no traps.
Yeah.
I had
one of my favorite.
Yeah, what's one of yours?
One of my favorite. It's from one of my favorite movies. Yeah. The 1980s Flash Gordon movie.
Uh huh.
The one where Baron and Flash are fighting on that platform.
Yeah.
Of spikes. That goes up and down, and you know, Voltan is like, you know, right. So they have whips and they're fighting, and what I like about that is like, not only because like it's on a platform that's jiggling and with spikes, but like it wasn't a typical death trap that Flash walked, you know, like stumbled across and came into. It was like, okay, you guys are gonna duel.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it, and like it just kind of keeps escalating, and the way out of that death trap was to like come to an understanding with Prince Baron.
That's nice.
You know, and so like
you like the communication.
I like it. Well, yeah, I mean, like, and come on, it's Flash Gordon and Prince Baron and Brian Blessed in the background laughing.
Always great.
Oh my god, I love that movie so much.
Oh, Brian Blessed.
you know, so like, you know, so it's a very kind of cheesy death trap of like,
yeah,
we're, you know, we'll fall off this, you know, floor and fall down into the oasis, the abyss. But like, you know, they're fighting with whips, I think, you know, like, so it's just kind of like, there's a little camp quality to it, but like these two guys come to an understanding, like, we got to defeat Ming, man. Yeah. It's Ming who's the bad guy. I never had sex with your girlfriend. Sure, she's hot and all, but I didn't have sex with her.
That's what it always comes down to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe, does the Thunderdome count?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I guess it would, because if everything counts,
the Thunderdome. Because Thunderdome's pretty cool.
Well, then I would argue, there's an argument to be made, it's a sporting event.
That's true.
Is it a sporting event?
Because
mine was at least like, you know, revenge-based duel.
Right, but I mean, there was at least one spectator.
Well, right. I mean, duels can be a spectator sport, but it's not like a sport. It's not like football.
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like...
I mean, it does have the chainsaws.
Yeah. I mean, because you're supposed to die. I mean, the whole point is one man enter, two men enter, one man leave.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know...
Yeah.
Like a football game where it's like, oh, we lost, okay, well, I guess we'll live to play another day.
Right. Oh, I'm not saying it's a friendly sport.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know, this is more Gladiator.
I mean... The garbage compactor from Star Wars with the creature in it.
Yeah.
Because that's like two levels.
Yeah.
Two levels of danger. Because like, sure, the walls are going to compact you.
Yeah.
But also, there's a fucking creature living in there.
Yeah. It's a creature. Well, but the creature scurried away. That's what saved Luke.
Yes, but that's the escalation. But that's two sort of separate problems.
Yeah.
That, like, creature, and then the walls.
Yeah.
You know, because I like the compounded. I like it. You know. Just sinking in the lava is boring, let me tell you.
There's another kind of death trap that I just thought of, and you will not be able to participate because you haven't watched the show. Babylon 5.
Ah.
So there's, they, the, oh, I'm going to spoil it for everybody. But anyway.
Spoiler.
It's, the show's 20 years old. It's so fantastic. So anyway, so there's the lead guy played by Bruce Boxleitner.
Yes.
And one of the other characters has been psychically altered, so he betrays Bruce Boxleitner. Uh-huh. He gets captured, and basically he's kind of like thrown. So rather than, then he's in prison, basically, and they're questioning him, and they're basically trying to kind of mess with his mind and stuff like that. So it's not necessarily a death trap, like his life isn't necessarily at stake. I mean, it is kind of, but it's not like the walls are coming in, the walls are coming in. They're psychologically trying to destroy him. And this episode takes place in real time.
Okay.
You know, so, like, they're, like, torturing this other alien and blaming, like, this is your fault. We're hurting this guy.
So it's basically the There Are Four Lights episode.
Yes, it's the Four Lights episode.
So it's basically just a ripoff of a Next Generation episode, is what you're saying.
Except it's better.
Okay. But it's basically just the same.
Well, in the context of this current discussion, it's a death trap.
Okay.
But,
okay.
So, well, would that episode be a death? Would no, that, that episode be a peril?
It's not.
That's more like Big 1984.
It's
Big
not
Brother,
like, no, it's a torture episode. I mean, it's basically the same thing. But I don't know if I consider like a torture situation a death trap per se.
Unless death is at the end of that torture,
I suppose. But it's just.
I mean, I think
it's
a trap is required for a death. I mean, like the trap.
I feel
like I don't think
trap. I feel like there's a trap. There's a mechanism to it. There's a pit in the pendulum, swinging thing that's lowering slowly.
See, I was kind of thinking of like, hey, we've captured you. That's the trap. Because I don't think in that Four Lights episode they, like, you know, they weren't like waiting to capture Picard.
They've already captured him.
Yeah, yeah. But don't we find out that, but they weren't, you know, when we go back and find out what happened, I don't remember, was he, like, were they laying in wait to capture him?
No, he was doing something shady.
Like, but, oh, I thought it was spelunking. He was like,
"Yeah, no,
I'm hanging out in this cave."
Yeah, no, no. Okay. I feel like he was doing something. He was kind of doing what they accused him of doing.
Oh, right. Because Picard's the worst.
He's not the worst. Picard's just fine.
He's fight me.
Just fine. But yeah, I mean, there's. I feel like no. I feel like we should narrow. Like death trap should be
like
a mechanism
danger.
Designed to kill you slowly.
Mm.
And sometimes with the ability for you to figure out a way out. Which is always the other weird part for
me.
That, like, you build this thing.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some sort of fail-safe.
There's
like,
a fail-safe for you to get out.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course they're going to figure out the fail-safe. Why are you building these things with fail-safes, guys? Don't build it with a fail-safe.
See, my thing is, like, why don't you just shoot him? Like, that's what I'm like.
Yeah, but Scotty.
Oh, I'm going to
just shoot him in the head.
Shoot him.
Why have you not shot him in the head already?
Yeah. Well, I got to explain my plan.
Yeah, no. No, don't explain your plan.
Yeah,
just shoot them in the face.
That's what I've been telling our boss. Like,
yeah, I know.
Why we wouldn't, you know.
Always complicated. And that's what I've been telling him. Like, you build your death trap. Don't build a way out.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't hide a button that if he hits it,
yeah.
The whole thing, don't do that. No doors. No doors. Just, you know.
Just a room full of bullets coming at the guy.
Yeah, that's it.
At high velocity.
That's all you need.
That's all you need.
That's really it.
Like, they open up the door.
Yeah.
You step into the room, and there's like a million guns.
Right.
Shooting bullets.
Yeah, but it's always, I guess, an indication of, like, the sociopathy, the cruelty of the villain that they want, like, we were talking about Goldfinger, they want to hear
the
screams of the hero.
Okay, I'm going to addendum my, you know, million guns. So not high velocity, low velocity bullets.
No.
So they slowly enter.
Or just shoot him in the...
Slowly enter.
They don't slowly enter.
It's like X-Men First Class, when the coin goes through Kevin Bacon's head.
Slowly in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a fan of that.
I like that moment a whole lot.
Yeah,
I like that movie.
That moment's okay. I wanted his body to, like, explode or something. I was like, he sucked up all that energy.
But don't you get the poetic name? I'm gonna move the coin. I'm gonna.
He
was slowly punching the Nazi in the head.
I understand how stories work.
I feel like we need to watch this movie right now.
We do not need to watch this movie.
Sure, we'd be the last movie you watched before you died.
Yeah, I'm
it's not gonna be the last.
I'm okay movie with that not being the case. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, Indiana Jones has a bunch because it is. I feel like those are generally the province of adventure movies. So spy movies, 30s sort of adventure serials.
Like horror movies.
Well, horror movies have Saw.
Yeah. And we'll fit in the pendulum. And I was just thinking about Dr. Fibes. Have you ever seen Dr. Fibes?
Oh, yeah. Long time.
Yeah, yeah.
The Abominable Dr. Fibes.
That movie is messed up.
Yeah.
Like, and not in a, like, it's messed up in a way that's not, like, super gory, but it's just, like, the guy's getting covered in honey, and then, like, bugs are going to eat him.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's the thing.
It's
that
biblical shit.
This sort of thinking is always tied to, like, some measure of either divine retribution or extreme sadism.
Yeah.
You know, like, The Pit and the Pendulum has, especially the Corman movie, as I remember, it has that whole weird, as Corman does, sort of sexual S&M undertone-y thing to it.
I'm so shocked that Corman would do that.
I know.
Shocked.
Didn't see that coming at
no.
all. Not from
no.
Roger Corman.
Roger Corman, he's a chaste man.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, like, that's why I feel like it doesn't, you know, you'll have parts of, like, whatever, plans or whatever in other kinds of fiction, but really it's sort of like the adventure, the horror, the spy, which is a subset of the adventure, where these things come, and they are usually both indications of the intelligence of the villain, their sadism, and the intelligence of the hero to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, they're usually, like, certainly with Saw, all of those are designed to have, are specifically designed to have a way out.
Yeah. And a very painful, ugly, gruesome.
So often ugly, gruesome, but usually it's the idea is that it's teaching you a lesson.
Yeah.
And a lesson is being conferred by your ability to figure this out.
And that's how I was taught in my school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was the number one in my class. But that's because I was the only one.
Yes, yeah, that was going to say, yeah. That's so you went to a weird school.
Yeah, well.
What makes it even weirder is that you were homeschooled.
That's true.
I don't.
My mother was a sadist.
That's so weird.
She was mean with a butcher knife. I'm just saying.
So yeah, death traps, I don't know. Death traps are funky. Fun, but funky.
Yeah. Funky.
Yeah.
Well, but speaking of death traps.
Yeah, this is happening.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that's lava.
Okay.
That's lava coming into the room.
All right. So we're going to, like, upload this to Heidi, who...
Yeah.
Thank you, Heidi,
Heidi.
Our final podcast sounding as good as it does.
Yeah. We're using the last rocket here to get this to you. So good luck.
Good luck. And remember us.
Yes. Remember us fondly.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Will our heroes survive another week? If you can't find Larry and Jay at the bottom of your local lava pit, look for them on Twitter @DeepCutNerdPod.